Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I use the phrase or the term buzzword, does that make sense to you guys? Have you guys ever talked to maybe an entrepreneur or somebody that runs a small business and they have certain buzzwords or phrases that they use about connecting and community and their clients and things like that? You guys ever heard that? No, you probably don't talk to a lot of small business leaders, right? Anyways, but a buzzword we are going to look at tonight, and actually, I believe it was back in August or September that Mr. Ben taught on this, Ben Lennox did. But we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. And a buzzword that we hear a lot today in our culture, and especially in our youth culture, is identity. Okay? You probably, even just going through some of the music that we have nowadays, would really point you to that. And the fact that identity is a big word, it's a big buzzword, it's a big theme in a lot of what we do. And we're going to be talking about identity tonight. Because as we've been talking about wisdom, and we've been talking about different facets of wisdom, as we do that, those are building blocks that we want as part of your life, or excuse me, that God wants as part of your life when you have your relationship with God, okay? At the same time as we're discussing this, in middle school, I feel especially, is the fact that many times all of you middle school students in particular are wrestling through your personal identity and your identity in Christ. And it's one of those things that it's not just particular to middle school, but I feel like for middle school, because you have gone from grade school and now you have a little bit more freedom, you have a little bit more things going on in your life, identity becomes much more important to you. And we wrestle through a lot of that. And that's why we really need to, even sometimes reviewing what our identity in Christ is and identity, our personal identity, what it is, and how that is built and how that goes on. We're going to start out with a quick, fun little exercise here. So everybody should have a piece of paper and a pen, okay? If you do not have a piece of paper or a pen, please raise your hand because we need everybody to have one, okay? What I need you to do, we're going to have 60 seconds to start off tonight. Okay, 60 seconds. I want you to write your name at the top of the sheet, and I want you to write 5 descriptors of who you are, okay? 5 descriptors, such as, are you an artist? Are you an athlete? Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Do you like to serve? Do you have brothers and sisters? Are you active, or do you like to read? Or any descriptor, appropriate descriptor, okay? because I'm going to read some of these, okay? Make sure they're appropriate. So we got 1 minute, okay? So write your name at the top, and I want you to write 5 descriptors of who you are, okay? Here we go. On your marks, get set, go. You got 60 seconds. Okay. We're going to test your knowledge of your fellow students and see what your identity is, okay? What your identity is in youth group, okay? See if you guys can guess some of these, okay?
Are you gonna read everyone?
I'm not gonna read everyone, I'm just gonna pick a few, okay? So, everybody listen, okay? So, I'm not gonna give you a name. First descriptor is of an artist, a reader, an introvert / extrovert, so maybe this is like a love-hate thing, like sometimes introverted, sometimes extroverted. Animal lover, and quote, the mom friend. Who is it, Lydia? Lindsay Kate. Did they read it? Did they cheat? Okay, so little cheat going on here, okay? Okay, here's another one. Son, brother, small group leader, so that eliminates students, but a student, an employee. Ben.
Carter.
It's Carter. Very good. Okay. So, let's see here. Okay. So, here we go. Here we go. Little humor here. Number 1 is athlete. Number 2 is sibling. Number 3 is tall. Number four is tan. And number five is awesome. Okay? And they even included, they even included a nickname at the top as Aunt Jemima. But it's not Aunt Jemima. So, Lauren, do you think you know who this is? Might be your brother. Okay? It's a McCracken, right? Okay. So, anyways, one more. Okay, let's see here. Listen, one more. Okay. First descriptor, I play soccer. I dance. I play piano. I am a Christian. And I love to read. Okay? Kind of broad, right? Is that Zach? Does Zach like to dance? No, okay. Shh. Izzy's a good guess. It's Miss Betsy Jaggers, okay? We'll keep some of those. A little bit of fun to start off with. My point with doing that quick exercise is for us to realize many times we don't think about identity. Many times we don't think about the inner workings of all of that. But many times we are establishing it with how we live our lives, with what we do on a daily basis, okay? And if we were to go around and go from student to student, we probably could start with right up here with Andrew, and we could go all the way around, and we could say, okay, what are descriptors about him? And keep on going down the line. And literally everybody, for the most part, would at least probably have one descriptor of each student in here of the identity that they have established because they are in middle school, because they attend here at church, but then they also attend in our student ministry, okay? And so as we talk about identity, I want you to be thinking about that as far as you are establishing your identity right now in middle school, but establishing an identity of who you are as we look into God's word tonight, okay? I'm going to read, it's what we read for our scripture reading to start off our worship time, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, okay? Starts out, Paul is writing, please follow along as I read. And it says, I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, so as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we talk about identity tonight. We're going to see a lot of example that Paul gives us of how he conducts his life and his identity, even though he could claim a lot more than just what he does, what he claims Christ and him crucified. He had a lot more qualities. He had a lot more things that he could claim. So Paul was somebody who could almost be like a Christian royalty, okay? When you think about the fact that Paul, he was Saul at the time, interacted with Jesus Christ in the vision, or when Jesus confronted him on the road to Damascus, okay? In that time, when we're talking about the early church, do you think that that's something that Paul could use to kind of beat people over the head with the fact that I have a message that you need to listen to? I'm special because God contacted me? Okay? If you were to look back in Acts 20, 21, and 22, Paul even tells us the fact that he, when he was younger, sat under the teaching of Gamaliel. Okay? He came most likely from a ruling family. He had a lot of status that he could rely upon, okay? God had greatly used him. And as he is writing to the church at Corinth, he could be using that status. He could be using that dynamic as he communicates God's truth as, you know what? I'm pretty special, and you need to pay attention to me. But Paul does not do that. We see here in chapter 2, as he's talking to them, he is talking to them, number one, with a humility. Okay, humility rules the day here. He says in verse 1, he says, I come to you, brethren, and did not proclaim to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Okay? Do you think Paul could have beat them over the head with how special he was? That he had a special commission from God? He had a special position because of God directly contacting him? He could have been like, look at me. Look at who I am. Look at who God thinks I am. But instead, Paul approaches them in humility. Okay? So we see that he starts out with humility, but it goes even farther than that. He says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul is saying, I approach you in humility, but I'm coming to you in the fact that I am nothing, and Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel, is everything. It's not just that he steps aside in humility, but it's the fact that he's pointing to the message. He's pointing to Jesus, and he is saying, this is the most important thing in my life, and it should be the most important thing in your life. Okay, so we see humility rules the day. Jesus is everything, but he even realizes, he even has some truth going on here. So in verse 3, he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul realizes his own insecurities. He realizes his own problems. So he is realizing that he needs to be humble. He's realizing that Jesus Christ, and he's teaching them that Jesus Christ is everything. And then he says, I am understanding of the problems and insecurities that I have. So when he comes to them, he says, so that your faith, at the verse 5 there, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So as he had this awesome responsibility to be a missionary that is going throughout the known world at that time, sharing the gospel, he is not trusting in his own ability, but he is trusting in the fact that this is God's plan and purpose for his life. Think about it with Paul. He was confronted on the road to Damascus. Jesus actually directly talked to him and said, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you resisting me working in your life? And then he goes on to be this incredible missionary in the early church. So as you have him going through this, you would think that he saw lots of fruit. He saw lots of results from him being a missionary. But there was a lot of times that he had to defend the gospel that he was sharing with people. There was a lot of times have you ever been in that situation where you were trying to do right? You were trying maybe to do what your mom and dad have asked you to do, and it falls apart, and you get in trouble. And you're like, I'm just trying to do the right thing. And Paul, commissioned by God to carry the gospel to the known world at that time, was not only having persecution from outside, but he was even having to talk to his own church and church leaders because they're like, I don't know about this. We started out the Jewish tradition, and we were given that by God, and that's what we should follow. And Paul's like, no, Christ came and died for our sins. The law previously was to point us to Christ. The law previously was to point us to our own sin, to point us to our own shortcoming. And Paul was having to work extra hard to communicate the gospel and this message. And still, he comes with those four things that we just talked about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He came with humility. He came with Jesus is everything. He realized he was not perfect. He realized he had his own insecurities and problems. But then he trusted in the power of God. So you're like, okay, Mr. Dave, why are you talking to us about this right now? So we have kind of gone through about half of the year right now, okay? We have had a series that we've focused on wisdom, okay? Especially as middle schoolers, we've talked about it before. As middle school students, do we need wisdom? Yes, okay? Do we have a culture that encourages us to follow good wisdom? We have a culture that encourages us to follow what we want, right? Okay? To follow what we are comfortable with, what we want. But we've been talking about, if you remember a little bit of review here, the first message that we had way back in August was true wisdom comes from God. Then we talked about, secondary to that, the world's wisdom is man-centered. We talked about examples from the Bible of wise people. We saw wisdom and godly attitudes, honoring parents. We talked about friends influencing our lives. We talked about wisdom encourages students to build relationships that point you to God. We talked about thankfulness as worship. God is our strength in extreme difficulty in December as well. Okay, so as we look back and we see many of the biblical truths that we have been challenged when it comes to wisdom, we are going to be working towards a series in the next couple of weeks where we're talking about adversity. As we talk about wisdom here, is it easy to live out that wisdom truth, especially as young people? It's very difficult, right? It can be difficult at times, okay? And as we're wrestling through our identity, that whole mix comes together in the fact that potentially we get sucked away from biblical truth or biblical wisdom because we're thinking about identity, we're thinking about how the world perceives us, we're thinking about how other students perceive us, and potentially we get sucked away because we're establishing our identity in things that don't really matter. We see Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, his identity was in Christ. His identity was in the power of God. He had a commission from God to share the gospel. Do we have that same commission? We do, right? To go out and share the gospel. Have we been challenged to live out godly wisdom throughout Scripture? Have we been challenged to live out who God is? Yes. Page after page after page in Scripture. And so I want to encourage you as we kind of are at the halfway mark of the year as we're looking at in this wisdom series, you have been challenged with lots of challenges about wisdom. But as we wrestle through our identity in middle school, I want to encourage you to make sure that you are establishing your identity in Christ and not your identity in what the world tells you that you need to be or need to do. Okay? So real quick review, we see with Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, it was humility. Jesus is everything. He realized his own insecurities and problems, and then he totally trusted in the power of God. A quick quote that I want to finish up with tonight to challenge you as far as in your identity and your identity in Christ. It says, Christian selfhood is not defined in terms of who we are in and of ourselves. It is defined in terms of what God does to us and the relationship he creates with us and the destiny he appoints for us. God made us who we are so that we could make known who he is. Our identity is for the sake of making known his identity. So our culture tells you your identity needs to be a certain dynamic that other people will look up to and respect. But really, when it comes down to it, our identity needs to be in Christ. And it's so much more powerful, so much more incredible than any identity that could be established with our world's standards. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed to small groups. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the students that we have here tonight. And I pray that as we wrestle through identity, our identity in Christ, and what it means in our life, I pray that we would be challenged to live out the truths that we've looked at before in regards to wisdom, honoring our parents, really valuing the wisdom that comes, the only wisdom that comes from you, the only true wisdom that comes from you, or really building godly friendships and relationships with others, and that we would value your truth and value your word, dear God. We thank you so much for how you worked in our lives, and we ask as we jump into a series dealing with adversity. It's easy to talk about these truths. It's easy to talk about how important it is in our lives. But as we go out day to day, the difficulties arise. And it would be easy for our, as we wrestle through our identity, to be sucked away with truth that is not from you. And I pray that the students would just realize how awesome of a God you are, how much they can put their complete trust in you, and how they can know for sure, number one, their eternal destiny, but know your plan and purpose for their life. We give you all the honor, praise, and glory for it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're dismissed, please take your chairs and stack them against the wall.